Lately Show. This is Stefan, your Patriot Come Lately, the voice of the Second American Revolution. Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, whenever or wherever you are listening. As someone who came to America to escape from the socialist nightmare, I am using this show to shake America awake. Join me in the next hour for constitutional conservative news and views, as well as the occasional guest. We have to rebuild that shining city on the hill by taking this great country back to the principles set forth by the founders.
Hello there, and welcome to episode 67 of the Patriot Come Lately show. Want to welcome all my regular listeners, whether you listen live or you listen to the recordings or you listen via Red State Talk Radio. Welcome. Glad that you can join me. First of all, if you're joining this week to listen to the guest that was scheduled, Andre Harper, luckily I checked my calendar and discovered that he is actually scheduled for next week. So apologies for publicizing he was going to be on this week, but hopefully he will be joining me next week. So a week from today, and he has some very interesting things to say, so I hope you can join me then. But in the meanwhile, we've got plenty to talk about, lots of things going on here and there, so we'll get on with it. First of all, my regular listeners will know I do like to quote that great British statesman, Sir Winston Churchill, who was really a voice in the wilderness before the Second World War, and everybody was calling him a warmonger, because he was talking about the Germans and saying how they were arming up and that things were moving in the wrong direction. And guess what? He was right. But so one of his quotes was, of course, he had lots of enemies because of that. One of his quotes was, "You have enemies? Good. That means you've stood up for something sometime in your life." And of course, he did stand up for something. And when things did start getting bad, then Neville Chamberlain was out and Churchill was in. And Churchill saw Britain and the Allies through the war and was very, 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 very good at that. And I think really contributed to Britain getting through the war and not giving up halfway through. And hopefully we can take some of that resolution, some of that backbone. And I'd like to say even today, I think we saw some of that backbone, because the Republicans did exactly what the Democrats wanted and put up to the vote the request to raise the debt ceiling. Clean, so no conditions or whatever. And of course, the Republicans have been saying that that they wanted conditions attached to a bill that would get passed. And guess what? The bill didn't pass. And not just that, 97 Democrats voted along with the total Republican group in the House there that made sure that this law didn't pass clean. So, of course, the next step now is to go into negotiation and decide what kind of spending cuts they will get in exchange for raising the debt ceiling. That's going to be a very interesting discussion. But, you know, hopefully that really shows that, yes, we will be getting some backbone. So, as we go into that, some other topics that I'd like to talk about, and let's, first of all, this is the day after Memorial Day, so I just want to remind folks, in case we forget the meaning of Memorial Day is to salute those who gave for our freedom. In many cases, they gave the ultimate sacrifice, but there are many who also came out of this with missing arms and limbs and other body parts, and we really need to pause and put them in our thoughts, think about them, thank them when we can, but really, you know, this is a time to salute those who did give for us freedom. So in case we've forgotten that, and in case we've forgotten what we have as a community organizer, or sorry, as a commander-in-chief is his official title, yes, he did lay a wreath in Arlington, but he also managed to get in his 70th round of golf. And I think very, very disappointing there that our dear community organizer-in-chief really just shows no respect whatsoever for the military. And if you remember, George Bush, who gave up on golf because he felt it wasn't seemly while people were dying in Iraq. Unfortunately, this current resident of the White House does not have that respect whatsoever for our brave young men and women that that are in foreign fields and, as I said before, giving their everything in too many cases for this. So, you know, let's hope that there won't be very many more Memorial Days when the president is playing golf. Of course, there is one thing. Maybe let's try and be positive about all of this. And how about this one? Our dear friend that's currently in the White House, I'm sure, wants to leave his mark on history in some way. The Guinness Book of Records, resident of the White House that played the most golf, I think that's the most likely. And I mentioned this last week, a reminder for everybody, June the 4th is Flag Day, so if you have any old damaged flags, please bring them to a local VFW post. They can look after the proper disposal of the flag. Many of these VFW posts have burning ceremonies, and around this time of year is a time when a lot of them do it. But even if they don't do it right now, they can store your flag, and then I'm sure that at some time they will have a proper flag disposal ceremony, and that is the correct and respectful way to do that. Want to say hi to another couple of guests in the chat room there. And of course, Primo and Radio Wannabe, I believe that's Babs, that there. Welcome to the show. Nice to see you. And for the guests there, if you are showing up in the chat room as guest with a number behind it, you will not be able to type text into the chat room there. Unfortunately, Blog Talk Radio does require you to sign up. It looks as if you're requesting a show, but you don't need to do that. But you do need to sign up with a name, a handle, as people call that, and then you'll be able to type in text into the chat room. And I do appreciate folks who type into the chat room and try and answer your questions or react to your comments as much as possible. On top of that, if you want to dial in, then the number is 917-889-9161, so feel free to dial in any time. I'm glad to say I've managed to repair my computer, my dual-screen computer, so now I can have the chat room and see who's coming in on the switchboard, both at the same time. Don't have to worry about that. Of course, it's more to look at. So if you do dial in and maybe, you know, a minute or two before I pick up on you, you will be able to listen to the show and listen along press 1 and it will let me know that you do want to participate in the conversation. Very glad to have you if you want to dial in. Anyway, let's go on to news and views. And we talked about Flag Day. And I want to go on about some of the other things that have come to light recently. And really, we've got to look very hard in the future and coming up to 2012, because how can we ever vote this particular incumbent of the White House back in? And many, many political pundits say it's difficult to beat an incumbent, but we cannot afford to have another 4 years of this person. And even more revelations over the last week or so with his supposedly secret comment, but obviously this got out to Mrs. Brady, the wife of Donald Brady, who's of course she's authored the Brady Law, basically gun control, and now he told her that they are under the radar trying to organize gun control, and I believe that is actually through the United Nations treaty that they want to sign is one way of introducing that. So bypassing end run about the Second Amendment is what they're doing. So bypassing the Second Amendment and Congress and just doing it through a treaty and under other under-the-radar tactics, which is absolutely despicable. But, of course, it's par for the course, if I can use that, as our dear community organizer-in-chief likes golf so much. It's par for the course because, of course, he's doing the same with the EPA and run around Congress, couldn't get his, cap and tax legislation through, so he uses the EPA. Very, very annoying. Now, on another topic, and I do want to say congratulations to the GOP and Mitch McConnell and Boehner, who in the coming weeks, we do actually have some recess periods, and the Senate and the House are going to be away from Washington for a while. Strangely enough, they're going at differing times, and this, of course, is going to make the whole thing of working towards a budget, which is still outstanding from, from the Democrats and in the Senate. They still, Harry Reid is still refusing to put a budget through. But anyway, so we've got these sessions coming up when they're going to be away from. Away from D.C., but very cleverly, McConnell and Boehner have arranged that while it is kind of a recess time, they're not going to have an official recess. They are scheduling some dummy sessions in this period so that technically the House and the Senate are both still in session. They are not in a recess. This is a good backbone that they're showing. And why are they doing this? Because if they go into recess, then this opens the door for the community organizer-in-chief to do recess appointments. So these dummy sessions mean that officially the House and Senate are still in session, so there is no recess, and so there is no opportunity for recess appointments. And just watching here, I see that Babs, hopefully you've got your sound back. See, you've got your connection. Good. So nice to see that the GOP is taking a little bit of backbone, and of course also they showed some backbone by allowing the vote to come up today and then showing very clearly that it was voted down by an overwhelming majority. So also a little bit of backbone there, and hopefully they will keep this up because we've got a lot to do. I'm going to take a quick break now, and if you would hang on, we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Listen to Conservative Republican Forum with your hosts, Steve Rosenblum and Daria DiGiovanni. We're ending the silence of the silent majority. Saturday evenings, 6 p.m. Eastern, at www.blogtalkradio.com/Stephen R. Repub. Our guests include politicians, candidates, authors, television personalities, as well as military and intelligence experts. We hope you'll tune in this and every Saturday evening and listen to our rebroadcasts on the Red State Talk Radio Network.
Spending money.
Speaking of spending, come spend quality time with Paul Revere Radio, part of the Red State Talk Radio Network. You can find us at www.paulreveremedia.com. Once again, paulreveremedia.com.
Obama, he's a spendthrift. Obama's just spending crazy. Look at the spending. Big spending Obama.
Come Lately Show, coming to you on the internet via Blog Talk Radio and the Red State Talk Radio Network. And thank you for staying with me through the break. Want to welcome the guests that popped in and out of the chat room there, but I see they've gone again. We were, and I just want to remind folks, by the way, that if you go to the station website, which has recently been updated, www.patriotcomelately.us, you can order the official show T-shirt there, and there is a picture there. You can order that and other gear, other stuff from the show is available there. Just a quick reminder. And don't forget, if you'd like to dial in, the number 917-889-9161. Now and again, have a little bit of fun with a comedy piece that that I pick up off the internet here and there. And tonight, I want to do one of those. It's called "Growing Up Without a Cell Phone." And it's really for people who are 36 or older, or so the over 40 crowd, really. And no reflection on current listeners, but I'm sure that looking at the Tea Party, that there's more in that demographic than not. Although I know I do have some younger listeners that do listen occasionally. But anyway, so this is for the over 40 crowd. And he goes, "When I was a kid, adults used to bore me to tears with their tedious diatribes about how hard things were when they were growing up. You know, what with walking 25 miles to school every morning, uphill, barefoot, both ways, yada, yada, yada. And I remember promising myself that when I grew up, there was no way in hell I was going to lay a bunch of crap like that on my kids. Just, you know, how hard it was for me and how easy they've got it. But now that I'm over the ripe old age of 40, I can't help but look around and notice the youth of today. And youth of today, you've got it so easy. I mean, compared to my childhood, you live in a utopia. And I hate to say it, you don't know how good you've got. Number one, when I was a kid, we didn't have the internet. If you wanted to know something, we had to go to the library and look it up for ourselves, starting with the card catalog. Number two, there was no email. We actually had to write someone a letter with a pen, and then you had to walk it all the way across the street and put it in the mailbox, and it would take like a week to get there. Stamps were 10 cents. Number three, Child Protective Services didn't care if our parents beat us. As a matter of fact, the parents of all my friends also had permission to kick our ass. Nowhere was safe. Number four, there were no MP3s, Napsters, or iTunes. If you wanted to steal music, you had to hitchhike to the record store and shoplift it yourself. Number five, or you had to wait around all day to tape the music off the radio, and then the DJ would usually talk over the beginning and mess it all up. There were no CD players. We had tape decks in our cars. We'd play our favorite tape and then eject it when finished, and then the tape would come undone, rendering it totally useful. Well, you know, that's what we had. Got it? We didn't have fancy crap like call waiting. If you're on the phone and somebody else called, they got a busy signal. That's it. No voicemail, no nothing. There weren't no cell phones either. If you left the house, you didn't make a phone call or receive one. You were actually out of touch with your friends. OMG. Think of the horror, not being in touch with someone 24/7. Yes, and no texting. The only texting you had was writing a note and passing it to someone in the class. Of course, the kids today don't realize how annoying their texting is. And no fancy caller ID on the phone either. When the phone rang, you didn't know who was there, so you just had to pick up the phone. It could be your school, your parents, your boss, your bookie, your drug dealer, whatever. You just didn't know. You had to pick it up and take your chances. There weren't any fancy PlayStation or Xbox video games with high-resolution 3D graphics. We all had the Atari 2600 with games like Space Invaders and Asteroids. Your screen guy was a little square. You actually had to use your imagination. Fancy that. And there were no multiple levels or screens, just one screen, forever. And you could never win. The game just kept getting harder and harder and faster until you die. Just like real life. You had to use a little book called the TV Guide to find out what was on. You were screwed when it came to channel surfing. You had to get off your ass and walk over to the TV to change the channel. No remotes. Oh, and what is the world coming to? And I see there is a guest in the on the phone. If you would like to join the show, please press 1 on your touch tone phone. Okay, there you are. Let me just finish off this guest. Let me just finish off this particular piece, and I will bring you in. There was no Cartoon Network either. You could only get cartoons on Saturday morning. You hear what I'm saying? We had to wait all week for cartoons, and we didn't have microwaves. If you wanted to heat something up, you had to use the stove. Our parents told us to stay outside and play all day long. No electronics to soothe and comfort. And if you came back inside, you were doing chores. And car seats, oh please. Mom threw you in the back seat and you hung on. If you were lucky, you got the safety arm across the chest at the last moment if she had to stop suddenly. And if your head hit the dashboard, well, that was your fault for calling shotgun in the first place. So see, exactly what I'm talking about. You kids have got it way too easy. You're spoiled rotten. You guys wouldn't have lasted 5 minutes back in 1970 or any time before. Regards, the over 40 crowd. Okay, I'm going to bring in my guest on the phone, area code 804. Welcome to the show. Who's there, please?
Hi, my name is Hugh. I'm calling from Virginia, and I cherish my lumps and bumps from those days, those golden bygone days. I even remember running home to watch Kate Smith sing When the Moon Comes Over the Mountain.
Yeah. Great. Okay, what else are you calling on tonight there, caller?
Well, I see it's a patriotic show, I hope, and I am standing in my truth and inviting other veterans to join me in getting this country back on track and helping in the overall betterment of mankind, because it's falling apart before my very eyes, and I'm not going to let it happen.
Well, first of all, on this day after Memorial Day, Azabet, let me first of all thank you for your service as a recent patriot, someone who's only recently come to this country. I didn't have, obviously, the opportunity to serve here, but you did, so thank you very much for that. I think that's very good. And, of course, I think it's very important that you vets, help us get the message out that we do need to change the direction of the country. I really appreciate that. Is there anything particular that you're doing or just calling up vets to really help change?
Well, I'm standing as a beacon in my own truth, and I have a lot of things that'll really shake, rattle, and roll people's heads when they start to get a bead on me. There is a blog, if I may share that, that has actually a letter from President Obama to me related to the economy, which I responded to and followed up numerous times without hearing one word back from the administration. On the same blog, there's a very powerful little poem that's in the President Ronald Reagan Library, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. I was written up in a front-page Wall Street Journal article many years ago. It was actually dated Wednesday, April 27th, 1983, written by staff reporter Jonathan Quitney, spelled K-W-I-T-N-Y. And if you Wikipedia Mr. Quitney's name, you'll see that he was a true journalist, not like the ones we have today. He had a spine. He actually even had a television program where he reported on corruption on a daily basis. But in that article I mentioned, I exposed the former federal government bureaucrat for fraud. And at the time, I believe he was a CIA operative at the time, he was engaged to the daughter of Jim Wright. Now, Jim Wright went on to become the Speaker of the House, but that article put him in the spotlight. I was interviewed by a bureau chief from another newspaper who dogged him until eventually he resigned the Speaker position in shame. So there are things that can be done. It's time to look back at who's trying to control us and why, and shine the light all over Washington, big government, big business, and the media, and just see who's doing what. They're already running scared, but they'll scatter like cockroaches when the light shines on them, and that's what needs to be done. And related to politicians campaigning for any office from now on, when anybody comes into contact with them as they're on the campaign trail, just keep hitting them with the same question every time you see them. Say to them, don't tell me what you'll do for me once you're elected. You tell me today, right here and now, what you can do for this community, for the state, and for the country. The people have the answers. The politicians can get the answers from the people. The ones that present the best answers in the best way are the ones that should be elected. Once they are elected, they're under the microscope. If they don't do exactly what they were put in there to do, they're right out of there. Not like the Tea Party's doing, because the Tea Party's just changing faces, and as quick as they get in there, the old boy network is still entrenched, and they're controlling things.
Oh, agreed. Now, you mentioned a couple of things there, and I agree with you. Sunshine is definitely the best disinfectant for a lot of things going on. You also said you have a blog that you have started on this topic.
You can access that if you just Google the word creativity, the number 777.com. Again, creativity37s.com. You'll see the letter from President Obama to me dated July 7, 2009. And that little poem I mentioned that's in the President Ronald Reagan Library. I actually composed as a motivator in my own life many years ago. I dedicated it to my wife. In addition to it being in the President Ronald Reagan Library, it's discussed as a weapon against terrorism in the interview that can be downloaded from the blog. And currently I'm using it to help the people of Haiti who can't help themselves. The poem's only 3 lines long. It's titled Caring, Sharing. It reads, if you dare to care, then share. If you share, pay heed. God will reward every good deed. It sort of sums up what life should be all about.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, very good. So that's creativity777.com. Recommend people to go take a look at that. And want to thank you for calling in, and all the best with getting the truth out there. I think the more of us that do this, it's just going to make it impossible for people to ignore us, and that will really bring everything to the forefront, and perhaps we can get a better Congress and better legislators who will answer to the truth, because I think that's really, really important
thing that we
need.
People are the greatest asset of any country, and I'm calling upon anybody right now. I mean, if you're a parent, even if you're a grandparent, you have a little time on your hands, leave a legacy for the world. If you're a parent, think about your children and your grandchildren. Put the six-pack away. Turn the TV off. Take a little action. Get out there and do something, even if it's just saying a prayer. That's an action, because this country's falling apart. And the greatest generation that saved it during World War II, they're dying off. And what do they save it for? For this? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. Okay, well, thanks a lot for your call. I'm going to have to take a break now. Appreciate it. And, all the best with the blog. And hopefully you can come back and listen to the show, trying to keep things, as you said, patriotic here. And next week we'll be having a special guest, Andre Harper. And it's kind of leans towards some of the things you were saying, because he's going to show us how we can basically counter the media bias that is out there. He's written a book about that, and we're going to hear about how we can do that. So thanks a lot for calling, and I'm going to go to another short break here, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Other talk shows bore you to tears? Well, get on your horse and ride with Paul Revere Radio.
Our founding fathers set the bar very high, but they gave us the tools to preserve the Republic. Join us as we spread the word the same way Paul Revere did with his Midnight Ride.
Paul Revere Radio airs every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio. The path to restoring our Republic was laid down by our founding fathers. The principles of freedom, liberty, personal responsibility, and limited government are conservative ideals we will never abandon. America is listening. Grassroots. Common sense. Conservative talk radio. It's on the internet. Tune in now. Red State Talk Radio. Featuring some of the most popular internet talk show hosts in America today. Are you listening? RedStateTalkRadio.com.
If you have questions or comments that you would like to send me, please email me at stefan@patriotcomelately.us or go to my website, www.patriotcomelately.us, and click on the contact button to create a message. I love hearing from my listeners. While you're at the site, please check out the links to products like the show's t-shirt or buy yourself a copy of the Constitution Coach. This is an excellent collection of materials associated with the Constitution and Founding Fathers. Perfect for anyone who wants to study how and why the Constitution came about. A small portion of anything that you buy via those links comes back to help support this show. My thanks in advance if you do purchase anything. And don't forget, there are also some items available via the show page at radio.patriotcomelately.us in the links area.
Coming to you on the internet via Blog Talk Radio. Also available via WRS Digital, the Red State Talk Radio Network at redstatetalkradio.com. And thank you for staying with me through the break. We're in the second half of the show now. And one of the things I picked up off of the internet really sort of got my blood boiling, and you may have read about this somewhere, but it really shocked me. And we talked earlier in the show about, the community organizer in chief making an end run around Congress using the EPA and other, trying to bypass the Second Amendment, etc. But he's also doing some pretty nasty things with healthcare. And as we know, healthcare is currently being challenged as being constitutional. Well, in the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, the acting Solicitor General recently made several shocking statements in defense of the Obamacare, and especially in defense of its outrageous intrusion into our lives and our affairs. And I'm sure that this is going to go up all the way up to the Supreme Court. But what we have to remember, see, the people who are challenging Obamacare say that the mandates go far beyond the limits set by the Constitution, and argue that this health insurance reform is really just a way of redistributing wealth amongst private parties to achieve an alleged humanitarian ideal at an unacceptable cost, and it's definitely not authorized by the Constitution. Well, what did the Department of Injustice reply to that? Basically, they said the federal government can mandate anything it wants. And this is probably one of the most astounding admissions that that any of the defenders of Obamacare have given. But the fact that the acting Solicitor General, which means it's pretty high up the food chain, and I'm sure that Obama himself probably has some inkling of that this was going to be said, he acknowledges that the law was unlike any other law in American history, and he admitted that he believed Congress could force individuals to buy certain things, for example, also to buy certain food or to buy certain cars or whatever. So, in other words, the acting Solicitor General is saying that if this massive health insurance law is to be upheld, Congress must be able to force individuals to purchase certain kinds of food, certain kinds of anything. But to hear the administration actually claim that, isn't that frightening? Because isn't that really just absolutely massacring the Constitution? And basically, by his admission, if the courts uphold Obamacare, then Congress has absolutely no limitations on its regulatory power anymore. So we can just throw the Constitution away, because the Congress, but on top of that, the administration can basically do whatever it wants. Today, health insurance, tomorrow, food, transportation, housing, or whatever. Big Brother is coming, folks. We all thought it would be 1980, but it looks like it's going to be 2020 or whatever if this litigation stands. So we really have to fight and pray and hope that this litigation is not going to get stuck. Yeah, and just looking in the chat room here, thank you, Radio Wannabe. He wants to have the discussion, what is the role of government? The role of government, I would say, is what's defined in the Constitution. But anyway, we'll see. If he gets reelected, well, heaven help us if he does. Another 4 years, we can't afford another 4 years of the community organizer in chief. And we've got to get rid of all the agencies. Anyway, I'm going to take... I haven't played any music on the show for a while, and as you know, there's some great patriotic songs out there, so I'm going to start with one of my favorites, which is Christa Branch. You may have heard her on Glenn Beck, but a great song, and with her full permission, able to play this song on the show here. It's one of my favorites. Good, you know, looking down your nose from your throne, and of course describes King Barry down to a T. But, and as the discussion goes in the chat room there, I believe that we do have a good selection now. We're going to have some candidates, and as Radio Wannabe says, we don't have to win by a landslide, but I think we will win. I think people are getting fed up. You see left and right lots of people really getting fed up, especially from the people that voted for him last time. And don't forget, there's a nice sticker that you can get through my website, which had a bumper sticker, which has the text on it, if in 2008 you voted for Obama to show that you're not a racist, in 2012 vote against him to show that you're not an idiot. You can get that through the website or through Zazzle. Take a look there. I think that's really a good mantra coming up. But to be honest, looking at the discussion there, I think any of the candidates that are coming up now, we've got some good, strong ones. Christie would be perhaps the strongest of all, but I think it's highly unlikely that he will run. But I think we will still beat Obama with whoever comes out of this, and we can make it easier on ourselves, especially if we can get somebody like Herman Cain or Alan West, maybe not as the main thing, but as a VP role, especially if we bring that in. That will also take a huge number of people away from Obama's constituency. And I think we're going to do very nicely. So I'm very, 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 very positive. Acorn is still out there paying people to vote, but I don't think it's going to work as much as it did before. I think people are looking at this, and if we can really get the message out there, and it's the same, folks, it's the same as Medicare. You know, that's one area where I think the GOP fell down. In terms of Medicare, we let the Democrats get away with it and say, okay, old folks, you're going to lose your Medicare, and frightening them. We should be out there saying, yes, old folks, you are going to lose your Medicare, but not through us, through the Democrats, because through the Democrats not doing anything, that means that the whole system will go bankrupt and nobody will have anything. Whereas what we're proposing is that for people who are today already on Medicare, who are older than 55, there is nothing will change. We will guarantee to keep the system going for you. It's just for the younger people that things will have to change. But really, you know, reinforce that message to the older people that we're not going to change things for them, but the one that will change it for them are the Democrats by doing nothing. We cannot afford to do nothing, because if we do nothing, Medicare is going to go bankrupt. Social Security is going to go bankrupt. And everybody says, oh, well, you know, we can't talk about entitlements. That's the hot potato. That's the third rail. That's death for a politician. Well, that's just a question of the message. We need to get out there. We need to be strong. We need to tell the folks, hey, folks, you really need to know what's going on. Excuse me. And let them know that if we don't do anything, that will really mess things up. And I think same as talking about Acorn paying for stuff, I think people are seeing through that and realizing that, well, they get that money to go vote for something. Voting is still a secret. And I think that people take the money, then go into the voting booth and just do whatever they want. So, and I agree with the Big Dog Daddy in the in the chat room there, the Republicans in Congress are, well, they're getting better, Big Dog Daddy. They're not as bad as they were before. And we have some of the freshman class, but also some of the others are beginning to get the message. And I think things are slowly changing. I mentioned a couple of things that Boehner McConnell did with the recess appointments, etc. So lots of interesting things going on. But they need to get better. But you know, Rome wasn't built in a day, so hopefully things may improve. And of course, I was going to read an article, but we're running out of time here, which was actually, and again, I think very apt, based on my British connection. It's a writer who writes for the American Thinker called Adam Shaw. He's based in Manchester, England. He wrote an article about why Bin Laden's death might benefit the Republicans in 2012. I won't read the whole thing to you, but a few things. First of all, that obviously the war on terror still exists, and everybody's seeing how badly this current administration is doing on that and messing things up, and just thinking that they can kind of throw billions of dollars that we don't have at places in the Middle East, you know, just an absolute mess. And now, of course, killing bin Laden shows that we can be strong. And I think that I agree with Adam Shaw that that will have people thinking, yes, we want to be strong again, and let's vote Republican. Of course, patriotism comes into it. And the other thing being the hard left that is part of Obama's constituency, they're very unhappy with him as well. So it's not just the right that are pretty disappointed with everything. It's also the left. So poor Obama is really in a bad way. Let's look at everything. His foreign policy is a mess, right? Look at Libya. Sounds like we might even have people on the ground there, which was not supposed to be happening. Look at the rest of the Middle East with the Muslim Brotherhood threatening to take over in Egypt, which we originally are told would never happen. And of course, Europe hates Obama. I don't know whether you've noticed he was over there. Well, I'm very disappointed to say, except for perhaps the current British Prime Minister, and being a conservative, I was surprised how friendly he was with Obama. But the rest of Europe, if you look at the newspapers, it's amazing. As left-wing as the European newspapers are, the things they are saying about Obama, I mean, they're telling the truth, which is a lot more than our lamestream media is doing. His economic policy is in a mess, right? We heard this week that housing's probably at its lowest level ever. The dollar is in danger. Jobs are still bad. There's still no turnaround. They keep on telling us, oh, things are great. Things are great. But it's not. It's really, things are really still bad. So, that's a mess. Defense policy is a mess, right? We're still in Iraq. We're still in Afghanistan. Afghanistan, there's really no chance there of seeing any success. We might be on the ground in Libya. There are rumors that Western military folks have been seen on the ground in Libya. Just a rumor, not proven yet, but who knows what's going on there. Excuse me. And, of course, Gitmo is still open. Not done anything there. So, again, and that works against him both from the right and from the left. His immigration policy is a mess. Look at what's going on. He's got all these court cases going on. He's losing the court cases. Recently, Arizona won the court case that allows them to require companies to use E-Verify. And so the Supreme Court has upheld that. Of course, he's going to he's probably going to lose the SB 1070 in the courts as well. And then finally, his healthcare policy is a mess. Well, I say finally, just one of a handful of things. But his healthcare policy is a mess. Over 1,300 waivers. Some of his strongest supporters have said we want to have a waiver. So people who supported the healthcare now asking for waivers is probably the most hated legislation that we've ever had. And on top of that, I hear a rumor that his golf game is a mess as well. So, dear me, where did he go wrong? Well, I think getting elected for starters. But anyway. So we're getting close to the end of the show here. I want to thank everybody for joining me tonight. Next week, like I said, a very special guest, Andre Harper, who is an author. He's written a couple of books. One is about emancipation, and basically I think a kind of similar topic to Franz Cabreau's Stolen History. But his latest book is How to Face Up to the Biased Media and What We Can Do About It. So that should be very interesting. I hope that you can join me next week for the show, and please dial in and ask Andre questions. Be looking forward to that. So thank you very much for joining me, and see you next week.
This edition of the Patriot Come Lately show. Please take what you have learned and share it with friends and family. Better still, tell them about the show so they can listen too. Remember to support the advertisers on the show. It helps keep this show on the air, and I thank you for that. I'm looking forward to joining you on the next show. Until then, keep spreading our message. Goodbye, and God bless America.